What's up, guys? I'm Verbal Ace, beatboxer from outer space. I know this sounds like a recording, but that's how I talk when I'm making an introduction to myself. But yes, how's it going? And in case you guys don't know, I have a YouTube channel. I beatbox, and I incorporate sound effects
and voice impressions that
in my repertoire of music. And here to tell you guys a little bit by myself about any questions you guys may have. That's a horrible intro. Can I do it again?
Sure, if you'd like to. I mean, I think that was great, but if you feel compelled. So first of all, thank you so much for recording with us tonight. You must be very busy. So to take time out of your day, we really appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, of course. Yeah, I always want to take time to talk and let people know I'm actually a human being and not like a stuck up person.
Yeah. What should we call you? Verbal Ace? Mr. Ace?
All my friends call me Ace. You can call me Ace.
Ace?
Yeah. Okay. Ace for short. Or some of my friends call me Verbal for short.
For short?
If you call me Verbal Ace, then I might be in trouble. You know, one of those things where the parents say their whole name.
Mr. Verbal
Jonathan
Ace.
Taylor Thomas. But yeah, just call me Ace.
By the way, I did notice that you have a very unusual spelling of your first name. What's the deal with that?
So when I was born, my dad wanted me to be different. So he just put a Y in my name.
Interesting.
Yeah, I usually tell people they made a typo when I was born and we just kept it. But the truth is, yeah. And if everybody's wondering why, my whole name is not spelled right. Adam is usually spelled A-D-A-M. Mine's A-D-Y-M. Ace is usually spelled A-C-E. Yeah, like somebody put an ace of spades there. My full name is Adam Stephen Evans. So that's why I have ace as A-S-E. And the verbal, because, you know, I beatbox, it's a verbal talent. So Verbal Ace is literally my performance name.
By the way, Adam, I'm getting a little bit of reverb from me in your audio.
Oh, crap. Okay.
Are you wearing headphones?
No.
That's why.
Are you able to wear headphones?
Yes.
Okay. While we're at it, Joe, let's go ahead and bust out our sponsor.
Audibletrial.com/T1podcast. You may have been wondering, gosh, what do I do with my life? I've been stuck at home. I need something to do, but I hate reading. Well, have somebody read to you. Through the comfort of your own ears, audiobooks have been making a trend in America. And there's no better place to get an audiobook than audibletrial.com/T1podcast. Take it from me, someone who's been working on the 7 Habits of Highly Successful People for quite a few months. Audible books are the way to go. Isn't that right, Lars?
Guys, Audible has a proposition for you. They want to give you a free audiobook today. That's free as in beer. Not free as in freedom. You get the book, you get to keep it whether you keep the service or not. But they start at very affordable monthly rates. I highly recommend you check them out and get on the new way to read books.
Have someone read them to you.
Which is to not read them at all. Have someone read them to you. That is correct, Joe.
Audibletrial.com/T1podcast.
Good to get that out of the way in the beginning. Actually, now we can actually talk to Ace.
Now we're all going to learn how to forget how to read because we're going to have people read for us.
All right. That sounds great.
AC setup.
I got my Bluetooth on, but it's not connecting to the phone, even though it's connected to the phone. It's weird.
Okay.
By the way, the reason we left all this mess in is because the recording process was an amusing comedy of errors. Each time something went wrong, it became funnier and funnier. Enjoy.
How was the podcast? Oh, he spent like 45 minutes trying to figure it out, and then the rest 15 minutes was him breathing.
Well, that's okay. This is not the most troubleshooting that we've ever had to do.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I would say one of the most amounts of troubleshooting was when we had on a state senator who ended up having to use his Bluetooth headset during the call. to listen in, and then he got a phone call halfway through.
Call in the middle of the show.
Yeah. Oh man,
that was funny.
What is going on? Smartphones never act smart when you want them to. There's another advertisement for you.
Oh yes, smartphones.t1podcast.com.
Yeah,
don't go there. They're not our sponsor.
It's not a real link.
Yeah.
Someone says, I am in the presence of the god of beatboxing. Being patient is a requirement. That's fine.
I actually just got my Nintendo 3DS from my dad's garage and charged it last night and went to play it for the first time. And I didn't end up playing it.
It's like a Switch with twice the screen and half the graphics.
Okay. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Is it echoing now?
No, I can hear you clicking on the phone a little bit, but it's not echoing.
Oh, because I just turned up the volume on the phone so I can hear you. Hold on.
This seems to be working, whatever you're doing.
It's working?
Yeah.
Okay, I think it was echoing because I had you guys on speaker, so I can hear you better.
No.
But now I'm just talking directly on the phone like I'm making a phone call.
Okay.
But does that sound better? Sound good?
Yeah, you actually sound better because you're closer to the mic.
Oh, okay. We could just try that then. Try this.
Okay.
I won't be able to see the chat, though.
Oh, we can take stuff from the chat for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If anybody's saying anything, shout out to everybody watching, writing. Mm-hmm. And ready when you guys are.
Okay.
Sure. So,
right. Ace, can you give us like a 5-second beatbox to give an awkward transition here so we can get back into it?
Just since everybody said Thanos. All
right, Joe, you got a question.
Loved it. I love that. Thank Fantastic, you so much for indulging us. So, I mean, I've got several questions written down, like
sure.
a couple, you know, just to kind of outline the episode, but I figure each one might just lead to maybe some tangents off of tangents or something like that.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Last year, Steve Harvey had you on his show.
Yes.
What was that like?
Oh man, that was crazy. So to be on Steve Harvey's show was crazy. The Ellen show actually reached out to me at the same time.
Mm. And, wow.
Yeah, but because Steve Harvey got me first, which they were excited for, the Ellen show, they're on the same network, so they didn't want me after I was on Steve Harvey's show. I'm like, what? I could do something different. Nope.
They didn't want to have you on because they were on the same network?
Yeah, because I was on Steve Harvey's show first. I'm like, really? Ugh. And then the Steve Harvey show ended up getting canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was really exciting to be on the show. It was my second time meeting Steve. The first time I met him was in 2016. I did something, this show called, what was it? That's not static. That's me thinking.
Oh, there goes Rebel Ace. Oh,
and we lost him. So that was the episode. So, thanks for tuning in.
All right. That's the end of the podcast. Thanks for joining. No, it looks like all right. We'll be right back.
Sure. He'll be back.
Actually, I'm just going to stay here and wait while you guys are. While you guys are here, Adam seems to have borked himself. In the meantime, do you guys have any good stories or funny questions for Verbal Ace? Because he's going to want to hear them.
Oh, yeah. If you guys what's your favorite memory of Verbal Ace video or something that you've seen of his? If you guys would like to share that, we could potentially relay some of that. And Pikachu versus Groot, Thanos. What are the chances that he's still talking and he doesn't realize that he's disconnected?
That would be funny, but kind of sad.
Pretty good. I say pretty good chance.
He's like, hello? Hello? Oh, God. Hello?
He pops back on. And
He pops back on. He's still going. We just try to cover the gaps. All right. So, Joe, something that's been going on a lot lately, it seems to be that there's a Karen revolution.
Ah, yes. You're right. Karens are definitely a hot topic in today's society, now more than ever.
Yeah, it seems like the major civil rights movement for white people is not having to wear masks in the store.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
So,
yes to the chat. We're killing time right now while he reconnects.
So basically, I think that, let's go into the definition. Like, what is a Karen? It's basically a middle-aged, typically a middle-aged white woman who demands to talk to the manager over menial issues. So essentially what we're seeing in today's society when middle-aged white women say, I want to get my hair done, I want to eat out in public, and I'm not going to wear a mask. Essentially what we're seeing is the equivalent of, I don't know, tiny chihuahua dog barking. I don't know. I don't want to wear a mask.
Oh, it finally connected to my headphones.
Hi.
Oh, there you are.
Oh, there it is. Can you hear me?
Hey, welcome back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it finally
just in time.
It finally connected to my headphones randomly.
Okay. All right.
You know what? I know why. Because I was doing the voice memo app. I was recording on the voice memo app. And since it was recording on there, it wouldn't connect to my headphones. So I probably ran out
of the
voice. Yeah. How do I sound? Do I sound the same? Do I sound better or worse?
You sound significantly worse audio quality wise.
Oh, geez. Like a lot worse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me do this. I'm going to turn. And I'm going to go back to the phone. How's that sound?
You sound great on that. Yeah.
Like a million times better. Okay.
All right. So forget the headphones then. Wait, so did you guys get all of that with the Will Smith thing?
No, we got none of that.
We lost you about 3 seconds in.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
Well, never say it again. Okay, so moving on.
Right after you had mentioned going on Steve's show in 2016, we lost you.
Yeah, I went. So to kind of summarize what I said before, basically, I went on Steve Harvey's show, Showtime at the Apollo Theater in New York in 2016, which is like New York's version of America's Got Talent. But they, you know, Showtime at the Apollo has been out for many years before America's Got Talent. And mm-hmm. they have this thing called Amateur Night, where they take people performing and they try to perform in front of a very hostile crowd. If they don't like you, they'll let you know. Like, look at his shoes. Boo. You know, so I went there. I got a standing ovation, which was really cool. That was the first time I met Steve.
That's awesome.
And then the second time I was on the Steve Harvey show was actually because of Will Smith. I don't post on my Instagram that often. So I was like, you know what? Let me just make a video and see if people like it. So I did this video called the Tetris Beatbox, Low Tetris Beatbox. Have you guys seen that?
Yes, we've seen that. We've seen the memes. We've seen it, you know, turned upside down. Yeah, it's a clip. Yeah.
And then you actually met Will Smith.
Will Smith shared my video, my Low Tetris Beatbox video last year. And I didn't even know. The Low Tetris Beatbox was first shared by Timberland. Shout out to Timberland. And Pete Rock.
Ooh.
And then Justin Timberlake shared it. And they're all following me on Instagram. Busta Rhymes. Nice. It's like everybody I listened to growing up, they all started like sharing my video out of nowhere. It's crazy.
Nice.
And so first they were sharing my video. I was like, oh, that's cool. So I started, you know, being smart, redirecting all that Instagram traffic to my YouTube channel. And like a month later, since I had all these new Instagram followers and stuff, I thought Instagram was broken because it said I had 99999 plus new followers and stuff. And that's because all these celebrities were sharing my Low Tetris video, but they thought that it was actually my voice. They didn't know I was using an app to make that low, that low Tetris sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. So like Pete Rock, when he shared my video, he put in the description, this dude's voice is amazing. But in my original post, I said that I used an app called Voloco. Shout out to Voloco. But I think it got famous because, well, it was a cool remix of original Tetris thing, but I think it got famous because everybody thought it was my real voice, even though I said it wasn't.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah, well, I hate the fact that I misled people, even though it wasn't intended. But I'm really glad that it got a lot of, you know, people's attention, because that's why I started sharing my other stuff, like my YouTube channel and stuff. So a month later, I shared a video of me performing on the intercom at the airport.
Yeah. Saw that one.
And you did. Oh, yeah. So I posted it as a Throwback Thursday. I was like, hey, I know you guys seen the app, but you know, this is what I could do without no special effects. Check it out. And same thing. I just posted it on my Instagram and just left it at that. And then I posted it on Sunday last year. Sunday last year. Okay, what day is that? A Sunday last year. Okay.
it was on Sunday.
Just Sunday.
Yeah. But it was like, it was definitely more than a year ago. And Monday, the next morning, I wake up to a message from my manager, all in caps.
All right.
All right. We're just going to keep pushing through this interview in 5-minute intervals, I guess, guys.
So at some point, his manager DMs him something in all caps, and we're currently waiting to find out what it was.
Find out why next. Anyway, in the meantime, The thing about Karens at the moment, which I really don't understand, is it seems to be a really specific battle.
It keeps cutting out. I think my face.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, it keeps cutting out. I don't know what's happening here.
I think this is going to be really funny in post, by the way.
Like, so the last thing we heard was that your manager had texted you something in all caps.
Oh, geez. Yeah, he texted me, dude, Will Smith just shared your video. Holy shit. Call me. And I was like, yeah, right. I went to Will Smith's Facebook page, scrolled down, didn't see it. Finally saw it. And I was like, I started screaming. I probably scared my neighbors. Mm-hmm. They probably thought I was being murdered or something. But he's and in his post, I think he said, like, this dude is beatboxing on the intercom at the airport. Call me old fashioned, but I love this. And then he tagged me. And then I was like, really excited because, you know, I still look up to Will Smith. Like, you know, I grew up watching The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air,
yeah,
you know, Independence Day, iRobot, all his movies. Like, I watched mm-hmm. like all of them. And I was a huge Will Smith fan. So for like somebody like your idol to like share your post, oh my God. And then like 2 hours later, he shares another video of mine, and it was the Tetris one. And in this video, he said, okay, I'm obsessed, had to post back to back at Verbal Ace. I'm like, what? Will Smith said he's obsessed with me. So yeah, I had a huge headache that day. I was like, oh my God, what is going on? So because that happened, you know, it led to everything else. Like the Steve Harvey show reached out to me. Another show called Pickler and Ben reached out to me. Both those shows are canceled, by the way.
Stop canceling shows. Stop going on these shows.
And I know. Like, man. the Kelly Clarkson show reached out to me, and I ended up going on tour.
All right, and we lost him again.
what is going on?
So with all these shows that he's going on and getting them canceled, I hope nothing bad happens to us.
Yeah.
But, oh, there you are.
I checked this time. This time I checked.
Okay. What happened?
I don't know. It just this keeps disconnecting and reconnecting. Like, I keep checking the phone to make sure my face isn't touching anything.
Okay.
but the screen stays black, so like I don't know what's going on.
Well, I guess this episode will just be really funny in 5 minute bursts, and we'll just keep having moments. But hopefully it stops.
It's the internet connection. Are you in New York right now, by the way?
No, I'm actually in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Yeah. Oh, okay. You went to school in Vegas, didn't you?
Yes, I went to Silverado High School. No shout out to that. But yeah.
No shout out.
Yeah, I went there.
Silverado.T1 podcast.
No. Yeah,
I mean, you know, it's I actually got bullied in school because, you know, I didn't walk, talk, and act like all the other kids. Like, are you guys you guys familiar with Carlton from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Yep.
Yeah, that was,
yes.
That was pretty much me, like, because I didn't walk like, yo, what up? Yo, how you doing, G-Unit? Hey, get the, you know, I wasn't talking like that. Yeah. I was just myself, and, you know, I didn't really have a lot of friends because, you know, I didn't fit in with everyone else. I just was, you know, just wanted to do my school thing and get it over with.
That's very relatable.
Yeah. Once my junior year, I started beatboxing, but I didn't know it was beatboxing. I just showed a friend all the weird sounds I could make. Oh. And then the whole classroom got quiet and they wanted to all hear me. And did this cut out again?
No, we're just listening intently.
Oh, okay.
Captivated.
I have to keep checking now.
probably wise.
The whole classroom got quiet. Even the teacher wasn't doing anything. They were all looking at me. And then I looked up. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I was like, I'm never doing anything like this weird again. And everybody's like, no, dude, keep going. I'm like, oh, okay, great. They're going to make fun of me after this. I'm used to it because, you know, bullied in school or whatever. So mm-hmm. I did my beatbox thing. And I was actually waiting for, you know, laughing or, I don't know, something not positive. And instead everybody clapped, and it was very weird for me because I didn't know anything about beatboxing. I watched Michael Winslow and, you know, watched Will Smith in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and I thought he was just doing the same thing I was doing, just putting it in music sounds. Because mm-hmm. as a kid, I was always, you know, making sound effects, but never did it in the music way. Like, real quick, okay, keep checking my phone now. I'm like paranoid. My beatboxing sounds are actually sounds I copied from playing Streets of Rage on the Sega Genesis.
Oh, I remember mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My cousin just called me. So annoying. Are you guys still there?
Yeah, we're still here. For anyone who doesn't know, Streets of Rage is a 1991 Sega Genesis game.
Yes.
That actually has a 95% approval rating on according to Google users.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That. Oh, man. I play. Okay, my cousin's making me very angry. He keeps calling over and over again.
Oh, my God. This is like a hilarious comedy of errors. I love it.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, you were interrupting a podcast. Knock it off. If he calls again, right. I'm going to just, I don't know if it'll end the podcast if I answer it and then tell him, like, call me later, dude. I'm in the middle of an interview.
You could try it if you want, those, but
no, he texted probably me. Probably do finally.
One of. Oh, okay.
All right. So, yeah, it was actually the second game, not the first one. Streets of Rage 2 is the one that I really played a lot.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So, basically, you kind of fell ass backwards into this. Like, you didn't even intend to, and all of a sudden, now you're just you know,
yeah,
phenomenal
like
beatboxer.
I wasn't planning on like it took me totally by surprise. Like I wasn't planning on there was no idea. There was no intention of me being a beatboxer. I actually wanted to be an artist. I used to draw like anime all the time. Shout out to Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, I love Dragon Ball Z. I was so obsessed with Dragon Ball Z like in elementary school, and people used to make fun of me for being so obsessed with it. Like anytime there was a new kid in class, I would be like, "Do you like Dragon Ball Z?"
That's me. Yeah, it's pretty much. Yeah, I was like, Piccolo.
I guess I got lucky in high school because like everyone was obsessed with that show at my high school.
Oh,
so
man,
we all watched it.
We always go to school the next day. Dude, did you see how pissed Vegeta got?
I remember like a friend of mine designed this like online battle clan thing that you could do with your friends over AOL Instant Messenger to play as different Dragon Ball Z characters. It was great.
Oh, fantastic, man. Show. I'm going to go back in time and see that.
It was so much fun.
In sixth grade, I went to like a 3-day camping trip, and one of the new episodes of Dragon Ball Z came out that I missed, and it was from the Buu saga, and it was when they were training in the hyperbolic time chamber, and I was like, I was pretty pissed that I missed it. Not gonna lie.
Oh my gosh!
But so anyway,
sorry. Go ahead. We had interrupted. You were saying about Dragon. Oh, you used to draw anime.
Yes. My plan was just to be like another like manga creator or artists or whichever, but somehow like I made a really good friend in high school, and you know, you show your friends all your weird stuff you could do. So I was like, hey man, check this out. So I took my hands like they're not attached to me. I took my hands and
Rayman
started breakdancing with my hands on the table while beatboxing, and I wish I could show you. Maybe I have to make like a TikTok video or something of that.
Oh, you're on TikTok?
Yeah, I'm on TikTok.
Dope. Me too.
Oh, cool. I have to add you guys.
Ah,
I'm Disney Joey on TikTok.
Mine's Verbal Ace. I'm like really easy to find. I'm sure the government's watching me right now.
Uh-oh.
Most likely. The Chinese government.
But what happened is, I was just breakdancing with my hands on the table at school. And I was just trying to make my friend laugh, but I ended up entertaining the whole class. And everybody clapped. And they said, I'm really good. I should keep going with it. And I was like, really? Okay. And then it just, everybody kept telling, you know, their friends about me and my crazy sound effects, which going back to Streets of Rage, my sound effects were taken from that video game. For example, let me make sure you guys are still there. Okay.
Yeah, still here.
When somebody gets hit in the face in Streets of Rage, the video game sound is, psh, you know, I just go, psh, but I would have a ugh after that, and it sounds like somebody got hit. Psh, ugh. Like that. I don't know if that sounds good audio wise.
Sounds good. That, okay. Yeah.
So that sound became my snare in beatboxing. And when somebody gets hit in the stomach, it's like a, and I would just go. Yeah. So the, and the is my main beatbox sound. Mm-hmm. So like my Thanos beatbox is like a very popular meme right now. Everybody's like, let me show you how to scratch it. Yeah, that one. So, actually, no, the snare's not in there.
Oh,
doesn't that video have like over 50 million views or something like that?
Which one?
Incredible amount.
Which one? The Dark Side? Thanos one?
Yeah.
No, that one has, it's half. It's like 26 million views on YouTube.
That's only really, 26 million.
Oh, only 26 million.
I mean, that's incredible. I don't know. I guess because it's my own, it doesn't feel like it's a big number. Does that make sense?
Because it's your own?
Because it's like my own thing, it doesn't feel like it's a big thing.
But it is. It's like objectively massive.
I mean, that's large, but what do you mean? Because it's your own thing, it doesn't feel.
That's pretty much how I feel like with just my whole channel and everything with me online. Like, I see the numbers, but it doesn't really manifest clearly in my, like, I don't feel like it's that big because it's me. You know,
like, it's relative.
Yeah, like, okay. If I looked and saw somebody else's channel, and you know, they had like, I was like, damn, I'd be like, damn. But since it's me, I'm like, oh, yeah. Well.
Wait, can we unpack this for a little bit? Because I can relate to that pretty heavily. Yeah. Obviously, like, you know, our numbers are much lower than yours, but yeah, the numbers mean nothing to me. When I look in our analytics, I'm like, yeah, it's cool that we're, you know, getting milestones and stuff, but it's like, but I'm also just this dude. I totally get that. Like,
okay, analytics, yeah. Yes. Sorry. I saw what my phone did that time. It was weird.
Oh, no, I'm saying, like, I look at the analytics and stuff, and I can see objective milestones and stuff, and I'm happy with the numbers on some level, but also, like, I'm just a guy. And
yeah, it's like, that's what, like, doesn't process. Like, some people freak out when they, like, when I first joined the chat here, somebody in there's like, oh my God, it's him. He's here. I'm like, what? Is,
yeah.
What, where, who, what? Oh, me? Me? Yeah. Nah. Like, I'm, because yeah. I'm me, I don't look at, I mean, I guess you'll never look at yourself the way somebody else looks at you.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And I think that keeps me humble too, because I don't want to seem like I'm this big YouTube arrogant. Well, usually arrogance is always associated with popularity. Like, yeah. I never want to look down on somebody because of my social status, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's why I don't really look at my numbers like, you know, it's cool, but it doesn't seem that big to me. And hopefully that's not what she said.
Sometimes it's the other way around, though, where it's like, you ever see those guys, though, where it's like the opposite, where they'll have like 1,000 followers and they'll be like, yeah, I've made it in life. I'm huge.
Oh,
and
God, you see them at, like, I know some people
festivals
like that.
And
yes.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll go up to you. They'll be like, you know, I'm a pretty big deal on YouTube. I can't believe you haven't heard of me. And you're like,
yeah.
Oh, yes. What's your channel?
I know some people like that. It's kind of sad.
Yeah. It's refreshing that you're so very humble. You have 400 million views on YouTube.
Thanks. Oh, I do?
Yeah, you have over 400 million views.
Holy crap.
That's a lot.
And on, I just went to your TikTok. You have like over, I think, 7.5 million likes on there, which is considered a lot. Absolutely. For TikTok.
And there he goes.
Oh, we lost him. So anyway, TikTok.
I heard it that time.
Talk.
I'm back.
Oh,
all right.
Wait, you guys probably didn't even know I left. But so this is what's happening. Like, my phone will go like, and then it'll reconnect. Like, it keeps disconnecting and reconnecting. But this time I'm hearing when it disconnects. So I stop talking, look at my phone. Every time I take my phone away from my face, it reconnects. So I don't know if it's because my phone thinks I'm actually a beatboxer from outer space and it's like interfering with the signal that's not there.
Most likely, yeah. So are you an alien?
Yes. You guys call it beatboxing, but it's actually my native language.
I'm something of an alien myself.
Yeah, kind of a meme from the show.
So,
oh, really?
Yeah,
I gotta listen to the show more. I want to check out the Has Been Hotel episode too.
Those are good.
By the way, also a couple other people from that show have been on, like Rice Pirate and Stamper, the guy who did Serpentius.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool. You gotta connect me with those guys.
Sure.
All right. Sure.
Like, I'm sure they're. I mean, I don't know if they're busy, but if they're looking for work, like I'm looking to hire.
Yeah. Can't imagine they're that busy. I'm just kidding. I don't I have no idea.
Yeah,
exactly. We out here slinging deals like Donald Trump, except successful.
All right, I got this Donald Trump thing.
Jeez.
I never on my YouTube channel, I try to stay away from, you know, religion, politics, because, you know, the world's so diverse today anyway. People won't even be able to take a joke, whatever. But with my friends, you know, I always joke around because nobody knows I do like an Obama and Trump thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like on my TikTok, I had this Obama Trump beatbox thing and it actually went viral. I think it had like 2 million views or something on TikTok.
Wow. Yeah, I saw that. It was eerily realistic, the Obama and Trump ones, like especially the Obama ones.
But yeah, on my I try to stay away from religion and politics on my YouTube channel because, you know, how diverse the world is and everything. But I do a pretty good, I think I do a decent Trump accent. Accent, voice impression.
Can we hear it?
Oh, yes. if my annoying phone doesn't cut out again. I was like,
I'm sure it will.
I'm like, yeah. Like, look, we're going to build a wall, and it's going to be a good wall, okay? You know what my favorite movie was? Wall-E, because of the walls. Walls in it. My favorite book, Where's Waldo? You know, walls. I always go to Wall Street. Everything's walls. Wall, wall, wall. That's what Donald Trump is. He likes walls with everything.
I love it.
You should add that he likes to shop at Walmart.
Oh, yes. I actually had that. I was like, you know, my favorite place to go? Walmart. But if Walmart's closed, I go to Walgreens.
By the way, Ace, I have a slightly more serious question. I'm kind of curious.
Sure, yeah. What's up?
So on the trajectory of your career, where do you think you are right now?
I think I'm in a comfortable place because, okay, so you know these, and I'm not changing the subject, but it's still on the subject. You know, shows like The X Factor, America's Got Talent, or, you know, these reality shows where you compete to win the grand prize or try to get a record deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So these shows, I did America's Got Talent in 2007 and 2013, and every time I did America's Got Talent, it was a horrible experience. 2007, I got booed off. 2013, I actually got yeses, but they contacted me 2 weeks later saying,
"Oh, we lost him again." What did they say?
Should we call him or something? Because this keeps happening.
There's a new cutout again.
Oh, we lost you. You got yeses, but 2 weeks later they called you and said something.
Yeah, 2 weeks later I got yeses from the judges, but 2 weeks later, whoever's going to edit this, they're going to have to do a really good job because of the damn cutouts.
That's me.
2 weeks later, they called me to tell me that the judges picked too many contestants to go to the next round, so they had to take out a lot of people, and unfortunately, I was taken out. So America's Got Talent let me down a whole bunch of times. But the point is, these shows make you sign a very big contract, basically giving away all your rights. So you can't come after them for anything. You have to ask permission to go perform or sing anywhere. Like, they own you for the duration of 2 years if you decide to go do these shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I got contacted by someone that's putting a show together that's like America's Got Talent. It's going to be on CBS or TBS, one of those channels.
America Has Talent?
It's not America's Got Talent. It's another show that's similar to it.
The United States Got Talent?
Yeah. they were asking if I can do it, and I just remembered all the experience I went through with America's Got Talent and how horrible it was. And those shows seem like if you have absolutely nothing else, like if you have no financial thing, you're still stuck in the same place, you're not going anywhere with your career and talent, then you would probably do that show as a last resort. It's like, well, I might as well sign my life away anyway, because, you know, I got nothing going on.
Yeah.
So I got contacted with them yesterday, and then that's my niece. I got contacted by them yesterday, and going back to your question, I was thinking, yo, I'm in a position in my life where I don't have to do that show
because we'll find out soon.
Oh, we'll find out. So somebody in the chat is speculating that his ear is hitting the disconnect button, and maybe that would be, huh?
All right. By the way, guys, Verbal Ace drinking game.
Okay.
Oh, he's back.
Wait, you there?
Yeah. Somebody in the chat was speculating that your ear was hitting the disconnect button, possibly.
Maybe.
Maybe something to consider.
Okay, I'm going to hold the phone away from my face. I mean, is the audio still good?
Yeah.
If you're able to set it down on like a stack of books or something.
But then I will barely be able to hear you. I'll have to put it back on speaker, and then that echo thing might happen.
Oh, all right. That should be fine then, I guess.
We'll just go through. We'll do what we got to do here. That's fine.
Yeah.
No worries.
Yeah, I'm going to hold the phone away from my face this time and see what happens.
Okay.
You guys can still hear me clearly though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So long story short, I'm basically in a position where I don't have to sell my soul, I guess. I don't have to jeopardize anything just to get on TV, because these shows, nothing's guaranteed. Like, if you win, then the shows make it look like they take care of you. But behind the scenes, they don't.
Even if you win?
I'm friends with somebody that actually got the golden buzzer on America's Got Talent, and they didn't give him anything. Like, they didn't hook him up with any record deals. He's not contacting with any celebrities. Everything looks great on camera, but in real life, it's not.
Ace, I think you just broke Joe's heart because I think Golden Buzzer editions are one of his favorite things.
They're really excited. The person is really excited because they actually think that their life is about to change. It does on a popularity scale, but like as far as them actually helping people with their careers, it doesn't.
But I'm assuming they could take that popularity and go to record labels and be like, yeah, look what
could,
I did.
Like you can, if you're smart, you could take advantage of what you.
Take advantage of what? So guys in the chat, if you like Golden Buzzer auditions, type 7.
And if your heart has been broken by them, type 5.
Well, my heart wasn't broken. I assumed that they didn't get they're not guaranteed anything just because they got a Golden Buzzer, you know. Oh, you're back.
And he's back. This is...
What is going on here? I had my head away from the phone and everything. I think it's just on a timer.
Oh, it must be because you're an alien and I'm an alien and our frequencies are not matching up. And
yeah, you got a beatbox. Maybe it'll.
I don't know how.
You got a beatbox. Yeah.
Maybe if you teach me, can you teach me in like less than 10 seconds?
Yes.
Can you teach me everything you know?
Yes. Actually, you know what? If I could say something about my YouTube channel real quick. Sure. I actually releasing a new. I got to stop saying release because it's starting to sound wrong. I put out a new cartoon show on my YouTube channel called Cartoon Beatbox Lessons, where I'm teaching just quick, short, funny lessons on how to beatbox.
Oh, that'll be good for me.
Yeah, you taught the BM. Yeah.
You found the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to make the episodes more. Universal, because I don't want it to be dumbed down so where only kids can watch it. Hi, boys and girls. Today, no, hell no, get out of here. Yeah, you know, I want it to be like, you know, something that everybody could watch.
Yeah.
So the next episode is going to have a lot of jokes, a lot of jokes for kids and adults that they can enjoy, and their kids won't get it. Adults will be like, hey, what are you doing?
yeah.
Would you mind repeating the BM tip real quick?
Yeah. So. Basically, I'm taking taking the sounds of the letters in the alphabet, putting them together to make a beatbox sound. Like you would never see the letters B and M together unless it's like a different language or something. But for me, B and M is boom. Yeah, it's like you're making ba and you're just saying like you just had some good pizza or something after that.
Like that.
Let's practice that while he disappears.
Oh, okay. I assume that you're doing it from the diaphragm. Yeah. I have no idea. But, oh, you're back.
Back up. That's what, you know, like that. Did it cut out again?
Yeah, it cut out. But
darn. Wait a minute.
We were practicing while you were gone.
Oh, okay. I'm going to try something real quick. Phone on face, phone off face. Phone on
I assume
face,
this must be frustrating
face.
For you, so I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, really sincere apologies for all the...
You know what? I'm going to close every app.
Okay.
Close.
All right,
I was just saying like to make the beatbox sound is like if you were angry at somebody, you know how your words are stronger? Like if you were use any B words, you know, you really put some pressure on the lips, like you tell somebody to back up. If you're not mad, you'd be like, hey man, back up. But if you're mad, you're like, hey man, back up. You know, you put some buh in there.
Yeah.
So that's how you make the BM sound. Boom, boom. Yeah, there you go. You got it. That's it. Yeah.
You got it, Joe.
Yeah.
I got it. I'm just like you.
Yeah. All right, do the Thanos beatbox.
I don't know it,
Joe.
Just go.
I can't.
No. A lot of people don't know what I'm saying. I'm saying Thanos. I'm not saying souls. It's Thanos to everybody.
How do you?
Comment section.
So here, do it again. Do it slowly, and then I'll try to emulate it.
It's boom, thay, boom, boom, not a nose, not a boom, thay, boom, nose, boom, thay, boom, like that.
Nose.
Yeah, so it's like he's scratching his name while beatboxing. There's a lot of work that goes into these cartoon episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, for the amount of actual content you get, that must be a tremendous amount of work.
Oh my God, man. Like, it's definitely a job within itself because the animators are overseas. So I have to are you guys still there?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Just make sure. I have to basically make the whole episode record myself acting as the characters. And you can actually see it. I posted a few videos, and people actually like them behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You see like a side-by-side video. You'll see like the actual video, and then you'll see my original video. Mm-hmm. And I'm basically pretending to be the characters. Like I'll pretend to be Thanos, and then I'll have like subtitles below the video to explain the scenes. And then I'll take like pictures from the internet to like help, you know, get my idea out there. And there's so much thought process to go that goes on behind each episode. And even before I do the video, I try to make a character perform in a way where I can beatbox it live.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's very difficult because mostly if you go on YouTube and type in epic rap battles or even just rap battles, you know, all they have to do is focus on the disses. But me, I have to find a way to write the diss in a way where I can beatbox it live and still make the character talk about the other character they're dissing. For example, it took me 5 days just to write Mario's beatbox in Mario versus Sonic. Mario, without me beatboxing, his verses, it's a me, the Mario, the one that's gonna beat you. It's gonna be your party, yo, because I brought my red suit. So it sounds easy, but I'm actually going the whole time. So I had to write lyrics that allows me to do that and rap. And I'm actually making Mario rhyme 6 times just for one sentence. So the first rhyme is it's a me. The second one, Mario, and red suit. The second rhyme for that is it's going to be a party, yo, because I brought my red suit or something like that. Let me just do it real quick. So without the beatbox, it's a me, the Mario, the one that's going to beat you. It's going to be your party, yo, because I brought my red suit. You got speed, but you're really slow because it is not going to save you. You want to be another Mario, but you are going to lose. So that's how it goes. Now with the beatbox, to make sure the phone's not being dumb. Okay, so you guys still there?
Yep.
Yeah, by the way, you haven't disconnected in a while. I think this is working.
Okay, cool. I just closed all the other apps, so maybe that was it.
Wait,
that's probably it.
Okay. So with the beat, it's... It's a me, the party up, oh, the one that's gonna beat you, boo. It's gonna be your party up, oh, because I brought my bread to boot up. You got speed, but you really slip, oh, because bit is not gonna save you, boo up. You wanna be another party up, oh, but you aren't gonna lose up. Pluck up at you with your poor, ugly bread, you booze up. You pluck lot like you blossed up all your clothes, boo, boo, up. It's a me, the party up, oh, the one that's gonna beat you, boo. So you better back up now before you get boo. You see, I'm just going... the whole time, and I have to rap and sing and make him talk about Sonic the whole time while beatboxing. So the writing process, oh my god.
How do you do it? Is it that the beatboxing sound, the way that you're moving your mouth, allows you to make the next syllable?
Yes, so it's actually like it's almost like it's like an audio illusion. So when I say it's, I'm actually saying bits, like B-I-T-S. Mm-hmm. Like, let me give a little bits. Bits. So, but because I'm beatboxing, the brain kind of ignores that part and they just hear it's.
Mm-hmm.
But if I weren't beatboxing, if I wasn't compressing my lips, it would sound like this. Bits and we the variable, the one that's bunna. Bunna.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah. But because I'm beatboxing, you hear the actual words instead of bits.
Wow.
And then to create the word me, I actually hum the M sound, and then I say B, like to be.
And he's gone.
Oh, we lost him.
That was such a good streak.
We jinxed it. So what do you guys in the chat think about that at discord.t1podcast.com?
discord.t1podcast.com. That's incredible. It's kind of amazing just to hear about, like, just laying down the beat in between the syllables.
Yeah,
incredibly complicated.
That is very, very complicated and complex. Oh, he's back. Hey, welcome back. Wow, we were just talking about how complicated that sounds, and that is very impressive.
Oh, yeah, just like, that's just one person. Like, there's like 16 characters that battled so far.
By the way, I think I'm gonna
I think I'm going to establish a first podcast drinking game where every time Verbal Ace disconnects, take a shot.
By the end of the episode. You guys will be drunk in 5 minutes.
What do you think it is about your natural talents or abilities that allows you to be able to do that? Like, are you like just vocally very talented, or is there like some other talent that's going into that?
Yeah, there's well, that's a very good question. When I do my thing, like perform in general, like I always try to find something that connects to the audience versus, you know, all the other beatboxers, they focus on techniques. Some beatboxers, they do like remixes and stuff, but most beatboxers will focus on like, you know, how what kind of crazy sound can they make with their mouth, like dubstep, lip rolls, drum and bass, like, you know, they focus on percussion sounds. But me, I focus on voice impressions, sound effects, or something that's just going to connect with people. Like if I go it's like, oh, he brought it back, I know that song, you know. That I love having that connection with the audience, so I always try to beatbox something that people can connect to. There's kind of a double-edged sword with that. Well, maybe not too much, but you know, everybody's like, well, how come you don't do your own thing, come up with your own stuff? Well, my plan is to draw an audience in first, and then they'll check out my own stuff. That's why now I just started my own cartoon series, Cartoon Beatbox Lessons.
Yeah, by the way, I was going to ask, like, I noticed XLF seems to kind of be your linchpin, and but you kind of answered that you wanted to draw people in with that, because everyone knows that song.
Yeah, that yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And I have, while we wait.
Efrio, do you want to get prepared, by the way, since we're going to take some questions after this? All right. Efrio is one of our previous guests. He's also a beatboxer, so this should be interesting. Mm. Also, thank you everyone for being patient, by the way. I'm assuming if you're still listening at this point.
Oh, and he's back.
Cut out again.
Hey, welcome back.
Oh, you know what? It's still trying to record. Maybe that's why.
Hmm. Oh, okay. That might be it.
It's trying to record. I don't know. Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
Okay, so yeah, first episode I made with my brother SpongeBob versus Mickey Mouse. We just did that as a test to see, you know, how people would respond if they liked it. And that was my first video that got over 1 million views.
Yeah.
Despite, you know, the animation just being very simple. I think people like the concept of seeing two cartoon characters beatbox battle against each other, because it hasn't been done or seen before. Yeah. A lot of cartoons on TV, you just see like a snippet of the character beatboxing. But like I was like, you know what? There needs to be a cartoon show that's just about beatboxing. So cartoon beatbox battles became a thing because it didn't exist. And, people liked it, and I made another episode, which the animation was really not that good on the second episode. Pikachu versus Groot.
Yeah.
The animation was not good, but people still, that still got over 1 million views, because I think they liked to see that, you know, Groot beatbox and Pikachu, you know, do his thing.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? Let me just make one more episode, and then, you know, if people get behind this, then I'm gonna turn it into a full thing.
Rest was history. Yeah, it seems to be working out.
Chat are saying Pikachu should have won.
Yeah. Yeah, people are very opinionated about the results of these. So that's, well, yeah, that's really cool.
I think people, because it's a lot of kids, I think they vote just because they see their favorite characters. They don't even vote on the beatbox itself.
No, of course not.
New episode that's coming out this Friday, Pennywise versus Groot. Yeah. I think Pennywise should win because, you know, he can actually talk versus Groot. He can only say, I am Groot.
Yeah.
But I think everybody's going to vote for Groot because it's baby Groot. It's the small Groot. So like they're going to like, I'm going to vote for Groot because it's Groot.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of which, you were talking about there's a lot of kids in your audience. And I did make note that you have a fairly family friendly channel, and this podcast may be the first time some people have ever heard you swear. Oh. So,
my ears, my eyes, my legs.
Do you want us to bleep those, by the way? We can, if you want.
I mean, if anything, they're just going to know I'm human like everybody else. Like, I get frustrated.
Okay. Yeah. That works.
Wait, okay. You're human? I thought you said you were an alien.
Oh,
oh, exposed.
That was actually a true question for you to make sure that you knew, you know, what I really was. So I'm talking like Will Smith now.
but now you're talking confirmed to the audience, and they're the ones who are supposed to understand that you're human.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I understand.
Like, I'm human, guys. I'm human.
By the way, is the family-friendly stuff intentional?
Yeah, because, you know, it's just, I want everybody to be able to enjoy my content. I have thought about putting like, oh my gosh. I have thought about putting like some other stuff out there, but like I've done family friendly stuff for so long. I don't want to like, you know, be responsible for how people react to it.
Yeah, I could see that. Verbal Ace After Dark. Between the sheets. Yeah.
Ace,
sure. Sunday or Father's Day. I was at my dad's house Father's Day. Shout out to my dad. I showed him something that I haven't really shown a lot of people. Like when I record my videos, I get pissed if I don't get the take right.
Oh yeah.
So when I watch it later, oh my gosh, it is the funniest thing ever. So I made this birthday video. I have to send it to you. It's horrible, but because it's horrible, it's so funny. I get super angry if I don't get the take right. Like I want to get the takes perfect. You know, not really a perfectionist, whatever. But I guess when it comes to my own stuff, I want it to be right.
Oh, I know what you mean though, because like sometimes I edit these podcasts, and sometimes I'll listen back and I'll notice I flubbed a line, but I didn't give like the correct take after. And like, I don't want to go back and re-record. I totally get that frustration.
Yeah, like pretend like you're still talking to the person and then they kind of answer your question. Yeah,
it's
but not
so
really.
Awkward. I don't want to do it. Yeah.
I have a question going back to, but if you had a thought along those same lines, then by all means, I don't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. What's up?
Earlier, you were saying that it was during Streets of Rage that you first started to beatbox. And yes. I'm wondering, how would you see your style being different if instead you were playing The Sims that day? Would it just be like Simlish, do you suppose?
I mean, is it...
Or a different game?
I mean, I guess I probably would have to... My sounds would definitely be different. I don't even know if... I don't even know if it would be beatboxing. It'd probably just be like crazy... voices.
Imagine you do that instead and it's not beatboxing and this never takes off because it just like it doesn't sound like anything.
Depressing.
Yeah, I you know what, I'd probably just stick to writing anime then, or you know, drawing animation. Like I used to draw a lot, but for me, because I didn't have a lot of friends in high school and stuff, I would use drawing as a way for me to escape reality. Like I could draw myself as a superhero. You know, I can draw myself surrounded by, you know, chicks. It's all good. Now I can be like, hey, what's up? You know?
Yeah.
And they chase after me, not because they want to beat me up. Me and my brother got chased home by girls, but in a bad way.
Oh, not good. Okay.
They wanted to beat the crap out of us.
That's not very nice of them.
You know, better days today.
We didn't dress, you know, we our pants went down to our ankles. They didn't go like below our shoes. So we didn't wear baggy pants. This is like back in the 90s.
Back in the 90s.
You know, we didn't have super long shirts. We just dressed regular and we got made fun of. And, you know, we got made fun of all the time. And it was always on the bus ride. And one day, me and my brother got tired of it. So we just started talking back to these girls. And they're like, oh, you ain't going to do nothing. Shut up and go home to your mom, whatever. We see them get off of the next bus stop. It's like four or five of them. They all start running towards us. We weren't even scared. We just rolled our eyes like, are you serious? And we just ran because we didn't want to deal with it. We run for like, you know, 20, 30 seconds, look around. They're still coming. Oh, my God. Mm. Run around into our neighborhood, turn around. They turn the corner. They're still coming. Are you serious? And then, they did not look good. They did not look good.
That was the follow-up question.
No, they did not look good. It was like, I don't know if you remember Bay Bay's Kids.
The name sounds familiar.
Boondocks. I don't know if any of those phrases help, but they just did not look good.
Oh yeah.
Oh, like
Norbit.
Norbit.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Got to hold on the weave while they're running after us.
Oh.
By the way, Ace. Yeah. I wanted to bring someone else on real quick who has been a previous guest on our show and is also quite the prolific beatboxer.
Oh, okay.
His name is Efrio. And he is ready, according to the chat, so I'm going to have him jump in real quick just to say hello. Efrio!
Hello! Hey.
Hello!
Whoa, it sounds like an infomercial.
Certainly nice to meet you.
Oh, cool. Nice to meet you too, man. Digitally.
Yes, indeed. I mean, I don't know what you guys would want me to do. Do you guys want me to beatbox a little bit just to...
Well, why don't you show Ace your chops?
Show him what you got.
Okay.
Come on.
Damn. That was great.
Rolls, get out of here.
Thank you.
Get out of here, Phil.
Oh my god, that's the sound I always wanted to do. I kept practicing and I could never get the whatever. I just rolled my tongue to do
it. Lip rolls are really hard. I will tell you, I've been telling this to basically all my beatboxer friends that lip rolls, you just have to really relish the pain, because it took me about 6 months of constantly annoying my friends. And it, literally, I would just be walking to and from class. I just graduated uni, but thank you. But I would be walking to and from class, and I would just be making these weird, weird, terrible sounds.
Gotta do that
all the way
in a public bathroom on the toilet.
Yeah,
that
you know,
sounds great to me too.
it would just be terrible, 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 terrible. I made it like it was just it was. It's not fun to be my friend during those 6 months. Let's just say that. But
we probably would have been best friends, because I would make it weird sounds too, man.
Yeah. But I would like to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Which is, you have such a very distinctive sound and a distinctive style to your beatboxing, because it is so focused on lyrics and so focused on the poetry and the characters, and not so much on the sounds, like my sort of beatbox upbringing. So my question to you is, were there any OG beatboxers back in the day that you could take inspiration from? Because from my knowledge, at least, other than, you know, Scratch Master like Tom Thumb, I can't really think of a lot of other people that has that kind of style. So can you tell me, just go through your inspirations in terms of what kind of formed your creative process?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I was actually really inspired by, you know, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Will Smith. Like, he didn't really beatbox a lot, but he did beatbox.
Yeah.
It was Police Academy, Michael Winslow.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I would say Michael Winslow was definitely a huge influence, because he would beatbox, but he always tries to figure out a way how to make you laugh or do something funny while beatboxing. And if
there's
you notice,
like a
I'm
story.
Like, yeah, like if you notice on my channel and stuff, like I always try to do something. I focus more on the comedy instead of like the trying to be super impressive with it. If I impressive, like, or trying to do something impressive, I make like funny faces and stuff. Because, but yeah, it would definitely be like Michael Winslow, Will Smith, even Michael Jackson, because he beatboxed too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And all of them, I think with exception of, Michael Jackson, he did a lot of humming and beatboxing at the same time. Kind of like how he did the Tetris one. Like, I like putting a lot of melody behind it. My strong point is not, that's opposite. My weak point is doing the, you know, all the different percussion sounds. But my strong point is my voice. So I really try to put my voice behind my beatboxing, which is why I came up with so many different sounds, like, you know, bust the beat, you know, like stuttering and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
I always put that in the beat, like bust the beat. It's like scratching while beatboxing at the same time, because that's like I'm more strong with that versus like doing what you did,
I probably sound like I'm having a hard time on a toilet if I try to.
No, no. Play. I assure you, if you just kind of hungered down and only focused on that for a couple of months, you would have chops like unbelievable. Because I would say that like chops are important, but
yes,
to the people that especially when you're building a brand and you're building the type of specific beatboxer that you want to be,
yes,
the character of you is, I think, about 75% of that, because that's what people will remember. And I think that you've really crafted that really, really well. So the chops you can always keep on fine tuning. Even the best people are still fine tuning them. So
yeah, I need a wrench because mine's pretty bad.
it's actually really good. I mean, this is the type of stuff that I kind of grew up listening to, and there was always like the beatbox scene right now is like really, really crazy. And if you like go into any of those like world championship beatboxers, they just kind of make you melt out of.
Oh yeah, I've been watching
how much inferior you feel. So
oh man, yeah, like you know, So-So.
Yes. Oh so, my gosh. Yes.
His freaking, I don't know, the whatever voice, like the Grudge voice.
Yeah.
When
he did
that on the Loop Station battle, mm-hmm. I was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable.
He's some of the things. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. The sounds these guys make is crazy. Like, that's why I tell everyone, like, usually in every interview, I tell everyone, like, you know, I feel like all those beatboxers are the knights going in the battle, because, you know, battling other knights. There's no princess, but you know, they're battling the knights. Actually, the princess could be a new Loop Station or something. And I feel like I'm just the court jester, you know, the clown they send in to entertain everybody while they're waiting for an intermission. Because that's what happened in 2012 at the American Beatbox Championship. I did like my Don't Be Stupid beatbox there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, well, Don't Be Stupid beatbox. Yeah, I'm saying Don't Be Stupid the whole time, but I like filter it out and bring it back up and add like a new beat to it. And I got a huge response from the crowd, and I was like, what? Yeah,
absolutely.
It was crazy, like, because I don't, you know, I really don't consider myself like a serious beatboxer compared to like everyone else. Like you said, like, you feel like inferior because everybody's doing all these crazy you know, dubstep sounds, and like some of them actually sound like dubstep music,
right?
And the bass and stuff,
crazy.
And when I did the Google Star Wars commercial, they said they looked at a whole bunch of beatboxers, and I was really curious of, like, you know, not to degrade myself, but I was like, why did you guys choose me? Like, these guys are freaking off the chain. And I think they said it's because I was very theatrical when I perform. Mm-hmm. Like, I like make faces. I'm really into it. Like, you know, you can almost see the beats mutating on my face as I'm performing.
Characters, everything.
Yeah, characters, I just, everything. Like, yeah, I think like visually, like as an entertainer, I always want to focus on visuals. Like, my thing is, if somebody was deaf, like they couldn't hear, could you still be entertaining visually?
Or
the question is, what's the difference between listening to you versus seeing you live?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if there's no difference, it's like, oh, you know, he's really making the sounds, but that's the only thing somebody could say. You know, like a lot of these beatboxers need to also focus on, like, what are you going to do visually? Like, are you going to have a prop for a diss? Or, you know, everybody does what MCs do. They just have one hand on the mic and the other hand's using, you know, moving around to express himself verbally. But as far as entertainment value, that's all you get.
Right.
So, like, that's the thing I really try to do to separate myself just from the genre of beatboxing in general. Like, I try to be as visually entertaining as possible. Like, I have a light up LED suit. I have like puppets and props, and, you know, I think that's like my strong point. I just want to make people laugh and entertain them.
And I would say that also, like, just beatbox, like, there will be beatbox purists out there that will be like, no, that's like, you're taken away from the art, because it's all about what the voice can do and what the lips can do and building up that musculature. But I say that, like, there's a reason why whenever Michael Winslow visits a beatbox championship and everybody goes nuts for them, even though he has, you know, he's very clearly kind of wowed by the number of different sounds and techniques, right?
Oh yeah.
But it's like everybody still is like in awe of him, because he can still tell that story. He can still tell you know, he can still characterize like he does.
Yeah, he helped put beatbox on the map.
Exactly. Yeah, so, yeah, keep doing what you're doing, man. You're doing great.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, cool. I definitely will. New episode on Friday if you want to check it out. Pennywise versus Groot, I mean.
By the way, I did notice that Ace is talking about he's good on the theatrics and the characters and the voices, and Efrio's good on the percussion.
Oh, I see.
Collab when?
Oh, I see.
Ooh.
I want to actually start incorporating guest beatboxers in my new cartoon series, Cartoon Beatbox Lessons. Like, actually, we kind of just went over like an episode right now. I want beatboxers. They don't have to tell all their secrets because, you know, we're kind of like magicians. Like, how the hell do you go? I don't know how you do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like,
same thing.
Yeah,
people come up to me and they're like, how do you?
Yeah.
That just doesn't sound right. But, you know.
So I want to bring beatboxers on my new cartoon show as a guest, and they just teach like one simple sound, or just, it doesn't even have to be simple sound. It can be complicated. The best way they can, you know, break it down, and I'll focus on the visuals. So it's not like, okay, tuck your lips in. Okay, now throw up. Throw up. What? You want me to throw up? Yep. Okay. Oh, there you go. You got dubstep. Oh, thank you.
You did it.
That's all there is to it?
I reached out to Kenny Urban.
Oh my gosh, you did!
Yeah, well, we've been friends for a very long, very long time.
Yes, that's awesome.
But I wanted to have him in my second episode, but I guess he's busy or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I really wanted.
If you ever get him on, get him to do the cap noise that he can do.
Oh my god, yes!
Because that would just be. And I'm trying to figure out how he does the cat noise. It's amazing.
Yeah, shout out to Kenny Urban if you're listening. Or we should share the podcast to him.
American Beef.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to, like, you know, just to kind of, like, I don't say give back, but, well, yeah, maybe give back and also reach out to people in the beatbox community. Like, this episode is featuring, you know, NYC Chris, or this episode's featuring, I was going to say Rufio. Effia. Rufio. From,
Rufio,
from
everybody.
Yeah. You know, like, I can have you on one of my episodes if you want to teach, you know, if you, you know, the best way you can explain how to do the lip roll thing. Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
You guys should get in touch. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Right. All right. If you want to, that is, obviously. I'm not trying to, like, make you guys kiss here. Like, just try to...
Yeah, man. You know. What's your Instagram and stuff?
My Instagram is at music of plus, MusicOfPlus.
Okay, you're going to have to write that in the chat or something.
I will.
So I can find it. Oh, great. My iPad's dead. Okay, so forget that.
Oh, no.
Well, and we can talk about this later.
Let's definitely connect.
All right. Bye, Efrio. Thanks for coming on, bud.
See ya.
Yeah. Yeah. Yo, man. Keep doing your thing. For real.
I DM'd it to
you. Thank you so much.
All right. That was cool.
All right. Ace, we got time for a little bit more, then we'll go ahead and close things off. Cool. Joe, do you have any questions that you were really dying to ask?
Oh, well, we didn't really talk about you performing on the subway. That was
you I do did want to a hear lot about of, wasn't that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, there you go.
How much of your current success do you attribute to having performed on the subway?
You know what? I think if I didn't do the subway, I wouldn't be where I am now. Not because you know, finances definitely are a part of it, but I think also realizing that, you know, you don't want to be stuck doing the same thing over and over again. There's a point where you can be like, okay, this isn't going anywhere. I got to really, because I had videos that went viral for me performing in the subway. I was on World Star Hip Hop, not getting in the fight. You know, it was like, I think in 2013 or 14, it was my birthday. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to stay home. It's my birthday. I want to go out and just, you know, perform in the subway, make people feel good. And I did. It was inside the subway train. And the video, some famous hairstylist posted the video, and it went completely viral that year. Completely, that doesn't make sense. It got a lot of exposure. I was like, oh, completely viral. So you got 100% like all the internet
virality.
Yeah, completely
viral. Partially viral.
Yeah.
Not segmented virality.
Yeah. Notice how I catch myself and I just troll myself. You got to do it.
Good.
That's great.
So is it? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say. So basically, I moved to New York from Vegas. Originally from California, moved to Vegas in 1996, and then I moved to New York by myself in 2011 to pursue my career, because it was the first time that you know, I performed in the street and actually made a lot of money from it. And I was like, man, screw this. Why would I want to work at this 4 hour a day job getting $80 a paycheck and where I can get that like in a day in New York? So, mm-hmm. and I get to do what I want to do. So I went to New York and I started performing in the subway. I ended up getting lots and lots and lots of equipment out there to make my performance better and better. I had this idea of being a beatboxing DJ where I would beatbox, blend some songs, you know, popular songs with my voice and beatboxing. This thing didn't cut out.
Oh, no, you're still there.
Okay, good. Yeah, I had this idea of like doing all these things as a beatboxing DJ. You can look up like, you know, Verbal Ace in the subway. You'll see like my setup in the subway was huge. I had like lights. I had a light up jacket. I had a TV with me and everything. The TV wouldn't just play like random stuff. Everything on the TV actually went to my performance. So if I did SpongeBob, SpongeBob would pop up right when I do make his voice. So it was a visual thing too. And cool. I was making, you know, a lot of money down there, but I wasn't going anywhere. And I started getting tired of performing in the subway because, you know, when you're down in the subway, you're exposed to the heat, all the dust from the subway train. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that song, "The Freaks Come Out at Night," that's so true in the subway. The freaks do come out at night. You know, I was like, oh, this guy's limping. He looks like a zombie. Yeah, let me get out of here. You know, and the cops are not always there to make sure that you're okay from the crazy people in the subway. Like I had one lady try to sit on my bag. The worst thing I've ever seen was, sounds like a scary movie. The worst thing I've ever seen, I was beatboxing. Everybody was having a good time. I had a circle of people dancing. And this big lady comes over, pulls up her dress, bends over and starts clapping with her butt cheeks.
That's weird.
Everybody looked like, oh, and they all left. Oh, well, there goes my crowd. I was like, come on, why you got to take it there? Why can't you just dance, have fun, and why you got to take it there?
She was thinking, this is what I have to, this is my contribution. This is what I can do that's much. Unique.
It was, oh my God.
You inspired her.
No, I didn't. It was bad. And then to top it off, like, I have an electric handcart. I had an electric handcart, which is basically like, you know, it's like a four-wheel dolly, but I don't have to pull the weight. It pulls it for me or pushes it for me. Mm-hmm. So I had like 500 pounds of equipment with me, but I didn't have to physically pull it. Everybody probably thought it was strong as hell, but I wasn't doing anything. And was still there? Yes.
Yes.
Hey, what's up, Gang Killer? You guys still there?
Yes, we're still
here.
Yeah,
we're listening intently, yeah.
Okay. So the problems I had with performing in the subway with all that equipment is sometimes the elevators would not work and I would have to physically carry that stuff two flights of stairs up.
No.
Sometimes the weather would rain, you know, the weather would rain. That's good English. Sometimes the weather would rain.
Sometimes it would rain
and, you know, I have nothing to carry. You know, I'm out there getting drenched. I've gone through the snow. I would leave my house because I can't travel on, you know, around 5 o'clock in New York with all that traffic. On this inside the subway trains, I didn't have a car. My car was the train. So I would have to walk from my apartment all the way to the train station, which is like a 10, 15 minute walk with all that equipment. But I have an electric cart, but it still sucks. And I would end up coming back at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning on each day I perform. And then I would only have like made like $150 that day. Now you think it's a lot, like, oh, $150 a day, dude. But the physical work behind it and, you know, staying out that long, performing for like 4 hours straight. I don't take breaks. I go like hard when I perform and only to make $150 and your rent's like $13.50. You know, it started to take its toll. I did not want to like be in a subway forever. A lot of people have been performing in the subway for like 20 to 30 years. And for me, I was like, no, I don't want to be down here that long. I want to like progress in my career. It was horrible.
Did you have like a finale? Like your last, last subway performance?
I remember performing in the subway one last time, but it wasn't like a big thing. It was like I had my little speaker around my waist and I was actually performing inside the trains because as cool as seeing all my electric equipment and feeling the bass and everything, I made more money performing inside the subway trains because I guess it was a more like chill setting. Everybody was sitting down.
I made people laugh more, and it was just focused on my voice versus if I was behind all this equipment, people didn't know if it was my voice or if I was like, you know, using something to make me beatbox. I'm like, oh, that's not real. Like, no, it's me. But yeah, performing in the subway definitely helped me, you know, get out of work because I earned a living from 2011 all the way up to 2018 just from performing in the subway. But it was very tiring and I felt like it wasn't going anywhere. So I had to shift my focus to my YouTube channel. But that wasn't decided lightly. I got in a relationship with this girl. She broke my heart. It was a one night stand.
I'm sorry.
But I tried to make the one night stand like a 1 year stand or whatever you want to call it. I tried to make it a long thing.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out. And I was really, really depressed. I tried performing in the subway to get my mind off of it, but my mind was still there. So I was like, you know what? Let me just focus on YouTube videos. And I just started putting out video after video after video. And that was to like preoccupy my mind. Because, you know, what do you do when you break up with a girl or whatever? You know, you
start creating content.
Well, that's what you should do. But what do we do?
Cry.
Well, you play too much Watch Dogs too. Yeah.
Yeah. We try to get the girl back, or we get really depressed.
Get fat.
We're in a state of limbo. You're lost. You don't feel like you want to do anything because you feel like your life is boring now because that person's not in your life anymore. And that's what was happening with me. Kind of a deep conversation right now, but what was happening with me. And I was like, you know what, I know what I'm gonna do to myself. I'm just gonna sit here, be really sad, and wish that she was here and we made up or whatever. But I was trying to make her happy at the expense of my own happiness. And that's, you know, it was even bad before we broke up or whatever. I broke things off with her. I was like, oh, you did, so shut up. Yes, I broke it off with her.
Right, no, I mean, that could still be extremely difficult. I mean, of course,
It's not necessarily even any easier at all if you're the one who initiates that. That's still the death of something really
plus
important.
You now have the guilt of breaking the person's heart. At least if they broke up with you, then you didn't break their heart.
Well, what made it hurt even worse is like I broke up with her and she just kind of shrugged it off like, okay, whatever, because it wasn't supposed to be a serious relationship anyway. I remember the exact words. I was like, well, what am I to you? What am I to you? It's like, you're my best friend. I was like, okay, what does best friend means? Or BFF. I was like, what does BFF mean? You're my best friend forever. We're BFFs. We're best friends who love and support each other. But at the same time, we don't have a boyfriend and girlfriend relationship, meaning we could see other people if we wanted to.
Yikes.
Yeah. So I'm no Quagmire, so that kind of hurt. I was like, oh, no. So instead of grieving in my own depression or whatever, I decided to just focus my mind and energy on my YouTube channel. And I just started putting out videos. I didn't have a computer to edit any of this stuff. So I just set up and it was on my phone. I didn't even have a good camera. I just set up my phone like on a desk or whatever to like a blank wall. Had my TV there that I brought with me in the subway. So I have some kind of visuals for the video. And I just put out stuff like Verbal Ace Mortal Kombat remix, Verbal Ace Ninja Turtle beatbox remix. Like if you go on YouTube and type in Verbal Ace Ninja Turtles, you'll see the video and you'll see like it's just me and a TV, but that video got like 2 or 3 million views. And I was like, oh, this is cool. People like it. So I just started putting out more stuff and I did a Star Wars beatbox video and somebody reached out to me from the Google Star Wars commercial. Somebody reached out to me working for Google, the Google Pixel 2 phone, and they said, we want you to be in a Star Wars commercial. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. And I did the commercial, and instead of just blowing my money on like video games or new clothes, flashy stuff or whatever, I thought of my cartoon video I did with my brother, cartoon beatbox battles, and, you know, took a look at it. I was like, oh, yeah, this is the only video that had over 2 million views or a million views. So let me invest in that and see if people like it again. So I hired an animator that didn't do a good job, but it's still, my revenue started going up on YouTube and I was like, wait, I'm making money from other places besides the subway. Oh, that's cool. So I just started focusing more on YouTube. I put the money I got from the commercial into my YouTube channel or cartoon beatbox battles, and Joker versus Pennywise, that's the one I really spent a lot of money on. I hired one guy to work on it and it was like $1,500 for that one episode. Wow. but it took him like 3 or 4 months. And because I did that, I ended up making a lot of revenue from, like, my YouTube channel started getting revenue now. And for the first time, I didn't have to go out to pay my rent. I was like, oh man, this is cool. And then things just slowly transformed after that. So
sounds long like it story ended up short, being a...
it took me getting my heart broken to transform that pain into focus and turn that focus into drive. That doesn't make sense. Basically, I got my heart broken and then I, you know, preoccupied my mind, which ended up making me change my career. I don't have to perform in a subway anymore to survive.
I'm really glad that you were able to make that change.
Yeah, it's, dude, it's, it was very difficult to do that. And I wanted to share this openly in case anybody else is, you know, going through a hard relationship out there. Like, we could transform our suffering into something profound, like just turn the pain into, like, you know, focus. You gotta think about something else. You can't always think about something that's the thing that's hurting you. Otherwise it's not going to go away. So, like, you know, draw, write, make music, or just do something to take your mind off of the crap, especially what's going on in the world today.
Yeah, there have been so many good artists, so many good YouTubers, so many good authors, so many good podcasters, so many good entertainers and content creators in general who came out of a shitty relationship.
Yeah.
That's what happened. It's that they said they had enough and they were gonna turn their pain into something, you know, artistically significant. That's where it starts sometimes for people.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. Like, you, I mean, it's not easy though, because, like, sometimes we just be consumed with, you know, whatever is we're feeling, we don't do anything about it. And that's where it's dangerous. You got to do something about it. The only person hurting yourself is you.
Yeah. Don't just sit around and play Watch Dogs 2 all day.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you can play video games while, but... to help take your mind off of it. You're like, you know, yeah, I just sniped that person. Oh man, good shot. How did you get that? Oh, I was pretending it was my ex. Oh, okay.
Transform.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, I think we're kind of coming to the end here, but, I don't know. I'm trying to think of any, like, last questions or anything. This has been a lot of fun, by the way, Ace. I've really enjoyed having you on, man.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about all the cutouts. Like, I don't know.
No, I think it makes it better.
Those are going to be hilarious for people to listen to, because I think if they embrace it, they're just going to be like, oh, this is funny. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, any questions or any beatbox requests?
Okay, there are a couple of questions from the chat, which I think were actually pretty good. I did tell them we would be relaying some stuff to you. And
one of them
was, do you have a DAW that you prefer?
Oh, yeah, I do lots of editing. I use, the program's pretty outdated. Sony Vegas Pro 14. I keep using that one because, you know how to do everything on that. If I get a new one, then I'm just going to start over again and relearn. Yeah. And I was like, you know, I just want to stick to what I know. And then the animator is also an audio engineer too, so he helps me with making the audio better and cleaner. I use a lot of machines, like the RC-505 loop station, of course, but I also use this machine, which by this company called TC Helicon. It's like a voice live machine. Oh, I just found my comb. Hey, nappy hair, shut up.
So random.
Yeah, it's just yeah, I use a lot of machines to help me get my voice, you know, clean, and when I post videos and stuff like that, or even live performances.
Do you have a microphone that you prefer?
I haven't experimented with a lot of mics yet, but as far as beatboxing, okay. I just been using the Shure Beta 58.
Okay. Yeah, Shure's a good brand.
Yeah, it gets the job done. That's what she said.
Are you an introvert or an extrovert?
Okay, so check this out. Remember my high school story? I mean, he's saying, like, you know, wasn't popular and stuff, just drew a lot of anime comics and kept to myself. I was introverted then. When I moved to New York, I was still introverted. You can kind of see it in the documentary. There's like a shout out to Adam Andrew Corey. He filmed me when I first made the transition of moving, you know, away from home and moving on the other side of the country in New York. I was still very shy. You know what? Actually, yeah. This kind of answers you, going back to your question you asked before. Performing in the subway has definitely helped me, because I'm more outgoing now. I'm an introvert now. Like, before I used to perform and not look at people, I would always, like, just look at my equipment and occasionally look up. Now I look at people and, you know, I'm like, hey, what's up? You know, I'm making sure that they know I'm enjoying myself so they can enjoy it too.
Yeah. Okay. I have
New York has transformed me into an introvert now, which is why this stay at home is kind of killing me.
Yeah. I have a similar experience. I could relate to that.
Yeah.
Do you have you been to Disneyland? Do you know the Jungle Cruise at Disneyland?
I've never been on the cruise, but I've definitely been to Disneyland a few times.
So the Jungle Cruise is a boat ride where there's a skipper at the front of the boat telling jokes. Guys in the chat, do you know the Jungle Cruise? Anyway, I was a Jungle Cruise skipper for like 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. And before that, I wanted to do like comedy stuff, but I wasn't really that good at it. And then I did the Jungle Cruise for like 3.5 years. And there's basically like 20 to 30 people in front of you. And you're forced to see the way they're interacting, the way they're, you know, perceiving the jokes and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And doing that for so long, you know, kind of causes you to be able to understand people better and what they think is funny and what they don't think is funny. And
yeah.
And then after that, I was able to relate that to more of a wider audience myself and become more extroverted.
Yeah, I guess I could kind of say the same thing for performing in the subway. Like, just see all the looks I get, and people talking to you and stuff. It's a slow transformation.
Sure.
Do you have any questions for us?
Yes, Has Been Hotel.
Oh.
You guys know those people?
Yeah, we have a lot of friends in high places, or I guess low places.
We know a lot of them.
And another thing is, how often do you guys do podcasts and stuff?
Every week.
Every week, guys, at discord.t1podcast.com on Wednesdays, 7 o'clock Pacific. Come join us and guests like Verbal Ace.
Discord.t1podcast.com.
Why is .com sound like Ryan Reynolds is saying it?
.com. Oh, I don't know. That's just like naturally how it flows from the tongue. Yeah. Are you able to say who your friend was that got the golden buzzer? If not, I completely understand.
Yes. Give me a second here. Oh my gosh, I got like a whole bunch of you guys still there, right?
Yeah, we're still here. We are.
Okay, hold on.
Know his name? I do not. Remember his name? I do not.
That sounds like a really good friend.
Yeah. What are you talking about? That's my Hoggle voice from Labyrinth. Hoggle.
Yeah, I remember Hoggle. I remember that guy. That's a reference.
Oh my god, I feel old as hell now. Does anybody know Labyrinth? You guys know Labyrinth, the movie?
Yeah, I had a girlfriend back in the day who was obsessed with that movie and would watch it like once a week.
Oh gosh, you remind me of the babe. What babe? The babe with the power. Yes, Hoggle. Actually, Hoggle sounds more like a Pennywise almost. Hoggle, hiya Georgie. Would you like a balloon? Okay.
Hiya Georgie.
Oh my god. Oh wait, I think it's Michael. His name is Michael something. I'm still looking. Okay. Just bear with me for a second, guys. It's
okay.
Oh, that sounds familiar. Let me.
I'm gonna bleep that in post, by the way, just to keep it a mystery.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you know him? You know that guy?
Yeah, we're friends. We hung out.
Wow. Oh my god, I'm such a huge fan of his.
Yeah, he got the golden buzzer, and you know, they didn't really do a lot for him afterwards. Like, he's friends with Terry Crews and everything, but. Wow. You know, I was a little disappointed that, you know, they really didn't like hook him up with more stuff.
That sucks. Yeah. That is amazing.
Yeah, on camera everything looks great, but behind the scenes, you know, they really don't treat the guests very well. These shows make millions and millions and millions of dollars, but they try to get the contestants to audition for free, just saying like, "Hey, it's amazing exposure." Yeah, but amazing exposure doesn't help me pay the rent.
And they still have to get to the audition, right?
Yeah, you have to actually audition for the producers before you audition for the judges.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
That part makes sense to me, but the rest is kind of sounds shady.
Well, yeah, I would think that if they're going to go on the show and they're going to have to get to the show, and the show is obviously... They're basically working for the show at that point by appearing and performing. They should get paid.
Yeah, they'll get you there because they want to get their views. But, you know, as far as anything else, like, yeah, they know.
By the way, Ace, if people wanted to check out your stuff, where should they start?
I would say definitely my YouTube channel, youtube.com/verbalace, verbal ace, and ace is with an S. Normally you spell A-S. I can't talk English. I can't talk English. Yeah. not speak English. Ace is with normally an A-C-E. Mine's A-S-E for my initials, Adam Steven Evans. Or you could just go to YouTube and type in Cartoon Beatbox. I'm very easy to find everywhere, like Instagram, Verbal Ace, YouTube, Verbal Ace, TikTok, Verbal Ace, Facebook, Verbal Ace. Just type in Verbal Ace. I'm, like I said, the government's probably watching me because I'm very easy to find.
I'm sure they
are. I like that little hiccup from Joe in the middle of that. That was great.
Wait, right. What?
Oh, Joe just randomly hiccuped in the middle of that. He added some character to your ad there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I followed you on TikTok, by the way.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know you're only following like 90 back, so there's no pressure for us to be mutuals or anything. But it,
nah, I'll follow you guys. I need to be more active on my TikTok anyway.
All right. By the way, guys, if you wanted to hear episodes like this early, as soon as they're done being edited, as well as get bonus episodes of the podcast, a funny role in the Discord, a patron-only chat, and more, go to patreon.com/T1podcast.
Patreon.com/T1podcast.
Guys, it's 6 cents a day. It's nothing. And you get to support your favorite content creators, Joe and Lars.
And you'll get to listen to, for people listening in live now, you'll get to listen to this episode as soon as it's done being edited. You don't have to wait for it to get the official release.
Yep, and you get to hear stuff like me, Mickey Mouse, ha ha, oh boy. Shut up, Mickey, get off the phone.
Oh,
sorry.
Boy. All right. Joe, do you have one of your famous jokes to kick us off?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus.
That's pretty good.
nice one, Joe.
All right, yeah, that was it. That was my joke.
You got one, though, or should we just...
Oh,
Oh, he's beatboxing.
Yeah, I heard that lip roll. Yeah.